Hello, mein Freund, and welcome back to a brand new episode of Talkin' Banff, the Nightcrawler Show. It's the bluest, fuzziest, elfiest podcast there is, and what it does best is tells you about Nightcrawler. I'm your host, Ryan. Today's episode, we are continuing our four-episode-long coverage of the 1985 four-issue Nightcrawler miniseries. Today, we are covering issue two of that mini, Nightcrawler number two, written and drawn by Dave Cockrum. So jumping right in with this issue, the first thing we have is the cover, and it's a really great cover, although there's a couple of things here that don't really come into play. There's like, it's definitely an homage to the Jaws movie poster, you know, where it's got like the shark head coming up out of the depths with someone across the top. Only in this case, instead of someone swimming in the ocean, it's Nightcrawler swinging by as the hero that he is. You know, he's got a babe on his arm. He's got Lockheed flying behind him. And in the background, we've got a couple of different characters that will come into play, kind of like in the background, lit up in this like pink kind of color. It's a great cover, and it sort of represents the issue, but not quite. The issue's not really horror or anything like that. It's still a pretty decent homage, though, because as we learned at the end of last issue, we have a new villain who is this weird kind of sorcerer guy that appears to be like an anthropomorphic shark. So it fits. So it takes us into the issue. And I have to say, in addition to all of the issues being written and drawn by Dave Cockrum, the rest of the creative team remains the same as well. We have Patty on colors, Jim Novak on letters, and Annie Nocenti providing edits for this miniseries. So we have the title of this issue, A Boggy Day in London Town. And I love how London Town is spelled. It's not spelled like the city. It's like L apostrophe U-N and then D-U-N dash T apostrophe W-N. So, you know, it's London Town, but it's spelled in like a fantasy way. And, you know, it's a foggy day in London Town. So it's a clever little play on words. And we see here that London Town is actually the name of Chagrin the Sorcerer. That's the shark guy. It's actually the name of his fortress or his own personal floating city. And in a big contrast to the beautiful floating city from the last issue of Bellamy Anor or Bellanor, I mean, we'll figure it out. This one, instead of being like having all these beautiful towers and bright glistening buildings and weird architecture and things that make it look both futuristic and, you know, medieval fantasy, this is just like a thorny kind of dark mountain type thing. The typical kind of landscape that you'd see from an evil sorcerer. It looks like living brambles, that sort of thing. It's, you know, purples and blacks and just dark colors, and it's knotted and twisted and looks pretty evil. But we see the squid ship arriving, it docks, and we have Chagrin and his henchmen kind of carrying an unconscious Nightcrawler and Lockheed aboard London Town to begin their servitude. At the end of last issue, they were knocked out and kidnapped by the pirates who Kurt originally had joined the team and then kind of did a bit of a double cross. So in this case, they've been sold by that group into the servitude of this like shark guy. So we have this sequence where Nightcrawler he's like chained up. He's being held captive against this weird, I don't even know what you call it, but he's standing up, but he's got like a chain around his waist and around each of his hands and each of his legs. And he's being told that the shark guy, Chagrin, he's like, you know, I've got some things to do. And then, you know, I'll be back to, I don't know, like torture you, or I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'll be back to do whatever. And Nightcrawler's like, oh yeah, like just wait till I get out of here. And he goes to teleport, and it fails. He's not able to teleport. It kind of makes this like, it kind of craps out. It makes this sound effect. Instead of Banff, it gives us like this poot. It's like poot. You know, and Nightcrawler says out loud, like, Poot, oh no, I went Poot, I didn't teleport. Where's the BAMF? I love that he's using like the onomatopoeia of the sound effect as like a verb. It's so great. But you know, we've seen that with Wolverine and other characters that have their sound effect, like Spider-Man has like Thwip, you know, but so sometimes you'll have a frisky rider kind of use Thwip as a verb. So here we actually have Nightcrawler using the onomatopoeia of his teleportation as a verb. I dig it. Anyway, as soon as he fails at his teleportation, Shaggy, you know, Chagrin says to him like, ah, you realize that you can't teleport, huh? Well, like, I've placed a spell on you that will prevent you from teleporting. So, you know, I hope you're comfortable. I've got some pressing business to attend to, and then I will be back. So we'll do our experimentation on you then. And, you know, if it doesn't work, if all else fails, then, you know, I'll eat you with some nice gravy and red wine. And with that, he's gone. And the scene quickly changes. We check back in at the X Mansion on, you know, our Earth with Kitty and Ilyana. We see that even though about a week or so has passed with Nightcrawler, there it's still only been like a half hour for the girls back on Earth. And they're still frantically trying to figure out how to find Nightcrawler in the vast multiverse and like get him to interdimensionally teleport back to where he belongs, you know, and of course Lockheed, and they're having a hard time. You know, Kitty's not being, she hasn't been able to crack the code. She's still trying to figure out, you know, this code that she has to crack in order to find Nightcrawler and bring him back in. But it doesn't matter. You know, Ilyana's like, man, I wish the X-Men were here, but they're not. So the scene quickly changes back to the land that Nightcrawler is currently in. And this time we check in with the pirates to see what's going on with them. They're in some sort of a bar. There's like a woman dancing on the table. There's like beautiful waitresses bringing them food. There's music in the background. And they're all just having a grand time. Like, apparently they sold Nightcrawler to the Chagrin the Sorcerer for quite a bit of money. And now they're enjoying the spoils of their piracy. They're all sitting around having a good time. I like that one of the pirates comes up to the other group and he's like, hey, who's up for a game of poker? Because that was the game that Nightcrawler taught him when he was a member of their crew. And none of them are interested in engaging in a game of poker with this guy because they realize that he cheated. He marked all the cards because he's learned through Nightcrawler's tutelage how to count cards, and he's marked the cards for that purpose. But it doesn't matter because as they're all about to break into a fight over, you know, these perceived cheating and whatnot, one of the other pirates comes over and goes up to Long John McGurk and he's like, hey, I've got some news. It turns out that the Jinjav was kidnapped on the same day that we sold Nightcrawler to that weird shark sorcerer guy. And the guy's like, it, based on the description I heard, it kind of sounds like it was the shark guy's henchman who kidnapped the Jinjap. And the pirate captain's like, oh, well, I see. So not only did he buy the boggy from us, but he also kidnapped the Jinjap. And he's like, interesting, because, you know, that's what we wanted to do. So if we know that's who has her, maybe we should go over there and pick a quick fight and, you know, steal her right out from under the nose of this pirate guy. And so that's what they do. They all decide to head out. They're going to head to this fortress. They're going to head to London Town and try to kidnap the princess, the Jinjav, for themselves. And so we check back in with Nightcrawler again. You know, all the pieces are now in play for the story that will unfold over the course of these 22 pages of story. So now we check back in with Nightcrawler because it's time to get the ball rolling on the story. Nightcrawler is there. He's being held captive. Like I said, he's like chained into the wall. It's not really chains. It's more like shackles. But either way, like he's still in shackled to this wall thing. And in this same room, there is what appears to be a mirror, like a large looking glass of sorts. One of the ones that's like freestanding and all that. And inside the shadow on the mirror, we see these creatures start to take shape. From here, it kind of looks like little bat creatures. And we get to hear their conversation, and it turns out these are the real Boggies. There's like three, maybe four of them, and they kind of look like little bat night crawlers. They're like half the size. They've got slightly larger ears. They have, you know, protruding fangs, and under their arms, they have, like, instead of armpit hair, they have little bat wings. But other than that, they pretty much just look like half-sized night crawlers. So you can kind of see why everyone was mistaking Nightcrawler for a Boggy, even if he is like twice the size of a regular one. Like, if you lived in a world where only Ewoks existed and then suddenly there was a Wookiee there, you'd be like, wow, it's a giant Ewok. So that's kind of what people are thinking. They're like, oh, maybe he's like the grand Boggy, you know, Boggy Prime, who knows? But either way, you know, he's been mistaken for a Boggy, and now we get to see, oh, okay, so this is what the Boggies actually are. And of course they talk like not like pirates. I don't know, some of their dialogue is they're walking out, and one of them is like us, we says, could help us, yes, and another one responds like, not one of us, bigger it is, strange too, came from somewhere else it did, you know. So they kind of have an interesting way of speaking. But either way, they pop out of this mirror, and it freaks Nightcrawler out. He says some word in German that I'm not going to attempt to pronounce because I will pronounce it wrong. But it's the one that he uses to convey surprise every now and then in the pages of Uncanny X-Men. So he's like, oh my gosh, I must be seeing things. Like, there's little weirdo versions of me. And I like, they just get right down to business. They're like, shut up, dude, stop talking. You're an idiot. We have stuff to tell you. They're like, we're the Boggies, you're a phony Boggy, but, you know, we can use your help. Like, we are stuck here, we can't teleport out. And Nightcrawler's like, oh, I can teleport. And they're like, well, yeah, but you, like us, you also can't teleport. Like, we get that conceptually, you can teleport, but physically on London Town, you can't. That's the conundrum. So here's the deal. We will free you if you destroy whatever mechanism Chagrin is using to teleport. If you do that for us, then, you know, after that, you'll be free. And so then you can also teleport to safety. And so Nightcrawler is like, all right, well, that's good enough for me. Yeah, free me, and I'll go do this. Real quick, though, one question. Why do you need me to do that? Why don't you go do that? And they're like, oh, well, you know, the magic that prevents us from teleporting, it also prevents us from getting close to whatever device it is that Chagrin is using to, you know, have this magic spell cast. But since you're not from here, it won't work for you. So you'll be able to just walk up to whatever this thing is and destroy it. No problem. And like, Nightcrawler doesn't even question, like, okay, but you guys can't teleport because of the magic and it's affecting me. I also can't teleport. Like, what makes you think that if the but whatever, you know, it's magic, right? Sometimes it makes sense. Sometimes it doesn't. That's the glory of magic. It just does what the writer needs it to do. And in this case, he needs it to prevent all of them from teleporting, but he only needs it to prevent the actual Boggies from getting close enough to destroy whatever magical object is like holding this spell. And Nightcrawler is able to approach. At least that's what the Boggies tell him. And so he's happy to go along with it. Either way, he's like, yeah, sure, I'll go do this. And they're like, great, because you know, now's the appropriate time to strike. You know, the Chagrin, the sorcerer guy, Sharkface, he's busy right now. And so while he's distracted, you can go do this. Nightcrawler is like, why is he distracted? You know? And of course, one of the Boggies is like, dude, he kidnapped the Jinjav. So like, he's going to go sacrifice her to whatever source of dark magic he has. And while he's doing that, you can go destroy the magic so that we can all get out of here. Of course, it's Nightcrawler, and he's like, a bad guy is gonna sacrifice a beautiful woman for evil magic? Like, not on my watch, bro. I'm gonna go save her. And so they've pretty much decided that Nightcrawler is going to destroy this magic thing that's preventing them all from teleporting, as well as rescuing the Jinjav from the shark dude. The Boggies will be free. Everybody's happy. And they completely forget about Lockheed. And so we actually have to check in with Lockheed. Lockheed is imprisoned in like what appears to be like a big glass sphere of some sort. And he is not having a good time. We actually have like a word balloon coming from Lockheed that's like Rega Fresen, Rega Mega Strike. Like he's doing the Joe Pesci in Home Alone thing. I love it. And so Nightcrawler is like, oh, my bad. Like I forgot about my cute little dragon pal. And so he walks over and somehow he breaks the sphere. It doesn't really say, but he's able to get Lockheed out of the sphere, and the two of them head off in whatever direction I guess they feel like going, because the Boggies don't really know what the source of the magic is that's preventing them from teleporting. So they can't really help. They can't really help Nightcrawler be pointed in that right direction either. They're just like, they all went that way, so that's our best guess. And Nightcrawler's like, works for me. Let's go, Lockheed. So they find this massive hallway and they just start walking down the hallway. And that's pretty much like, there you go. They're on their quest. And as he's walking away, we actually get some like off-panel conversation coming from the Boggies. And one of the Boggies says to the leader of them, he's like, hey, how come you didn't tell him about the Guardians? And the one Boggy's like, because if I told him about the Guardians, he wasn't going to help us, man. Like, we got to get him to help us. I mean, obviously, they don't realize that Nightcrawler's a good guy. And even if there were Guardians, he's going to go try to save the Jinjav anyway. But it's fun because it gives us at least like a half page of dramatic irony. We know that Nightcrawler is walking into a very dangerous situation, and Nightcrawler doesn't. Luckily, the action kicks off like three panels later. Nightcrawler's walking through this hallway, and on either wall, there's like these large stone carvings of like these giant snake, worm, lizard things. And of course, as soon as Nightcrawler gets to like where their heads are, they immediately come to life. They kind of crack out of the wall. And they immediately start to attack Nightcrawler and Lockheed. Lockheed immediately goes into like offense mode. He's breathing fire and everything. But these snake serpent creatures are made out of stone, and the fire is not really doing a whole lot. Of course, Nightcrawler can't teleport for this battle. So all he can do is like jump around and dodge the attacks from these like evil snake things. And so that harkens back to last issue, which actually began with Nightcrawler in a training room sequence, training himself in a situation where he's not able to use his teleportation. So there you go. Like it's already come full circle. Here we are just a half issue. Well, like an issue later, halfway into the second issue, and Nightcrawler is already in the situation that he was specifically training himself for. So good on Nightcrawler for having the foresight of knowing that he can't always depend on his teleportation. Sometimes he's going to have to depend on his instincts and his acrobatics, you know, his agility. It comes in handy here because although Nightcrawler obviously realizes that he's not going to be able to win a fight against these stone serpent things, he is able to dodge them long enough until he comes up with a plan, which is, well, I have to figure out where this Chagrin guy is and where this magic instrument thing is that's, you know, casting this spell upon us. So I might as well see if I can't use this to my advantage. Like, they're going to follow me wherever I go. I'm just going to go to where the bad guy is and hope that these, you know, snake serpent, these stone serpent things jump in and, you know, break some stuff up. And so we cut to the bad guy now, and we see he's in this like weird chamber. There's like this stone statue of like a four-armed dude, kind of like a, you know, General Grievous type. He's got four arms. In each arm, he's got a dagger, and it's just a statue. It's not like a living guy, but like right in front of this massive statue is an altar. And of course, like chained to the altar is the Jinjav Sabri that Shagreen kidnapped. And she's just laying there like, this sucks. And Shagreen is doing his it's not really a spell. He's like calling on this this godlike being to imbue him with more dark power in exchange for this sacrifice that he's about to do. It looks like there's some Latin in here, and I've learned from enough horror movies to never read Latin out loud, because I'll probably inevitably summon something evil, and I'd really rather not be haunted. So either way, this guy is like saying out this this Latin thing, but before he can like finish his, I don't know what it is, like I don't know if it's an incantation or like a prayer or what, but before he can finish it, he hears this like infernal racket, just this loud crashing sound coming from somewhere outside. And lo and behold, it's Nightcrawler busting through the door, and then of course the stone serpent things like almost immediately busting through the wall into this room that's like an altar room or a shrine room or whatever it is. Like, here they come just busting in, and Shagreen is none too happy about it. Immediately Nightcrawler sees him and just like drop kicks him right in the stomach. He's like, hey Shaggy, miss me? He runs over to the princess, immediately frees her as well. So he's got her over like one shoulder as he's trying to run away. And Shagreen is like trying to get his bearings back after being like sucker punched or sucker kicked, I guess, right in the gut. He's able to get back on his feet relatively quickly. I was trying to think of what word to say, but yeah, he's able to recover very quickly. He whips out his staff, his wizard scepter, his wizard staff thing, and he like immediately is able to use that to like get control of the stone serpents back. He's like, all right, like you sucker punched me, you surprised me, but like I'm back and I'm ready to go. And like, you forget this is my domain, like these are my creatures, and it's really not that hard for me to like exert my control over them with my magic. Which is probably what he should have done. Instead, he just reduces them to dust. Like, why don't you just send him after after Nightcrawler? But no, he's just like, all right, I've got you. You're back under my control. All right, now turn to dust, because I don't have time for this crap. So he immediately turns his attention onto the Boggy, right? And he's like, how dare you? I can't believe you brought these things in here. You ruined my ritual. You've taken the Jinjav. Like, not gonna happen, dude. Like, you forget. This is my city. This is my town. This is my castle. I'm in charge here. And so he uses his staff to like freeze Nightcrawler in place. Nightcrawler drops the Jinjav, and he's like, he's stuck in place. And eventually we realize that he's actually being constricted by magic that he can't see. And that is able, Shagreen then is able to come over and be like, all right, well, I was going to try to figure out the keys to your teleportation. Like, that's why I brought you here. But no, like, I don't have any use for you anymore. Like, you've ruined everything. So, you know, prepare to die. And right as he's about to destroy Nightcrawler here with like one blast from his staff, suddenly the wall is blasted from an outside force. And we cut to outside of London Town, particularly in the skies around the London Town exterior. And we see the pirate ship, what's called the Sky Rover, Tyjavany, and the pirates, led by Long John McGurk, they have arrived, and they've immediately begun attacking London Town. Like, I like that they don't just show up and be like, hey, Shagreen, we want the Jinjav. We're going to steal her from you, and you can't fight all of us at once. Nah, they don't even try to do any kind of social interaction. They're just like, all right, we're here. Start blasting, Palpatine style. And it's only after they've fired a few shots where the captain finally yells out, like, "You thought you can pinch the Jinjav from us? Well, we're here to pinch the Jinjav from you, sucka." And of course, the Shigarin is really not happy about all of this. He's just like yelling, like, "To heck with everyone. Like, I hate you, McGurk, and I hate you, Boggy, and I hate the Jinjav, and this all sucks, and I'm not happy. You're destroying everything." And the pirates are just like, "Nah, whatever, dude. Like, we're here and we want the Jinjav." The pirate captain, Long John McGurk, is actually thinking to himself, like, "Hey, you know, while we're here, we should steal the Boggy back. Because, you know, even though he double-crossed us and prevented us from kidnapping the Jinjav, I actually like that guy. He was a lot of fun to have on board." So the pirates are doing what they're doing. And Shigarin has been distracted. He loses concentration on his spell, I guess. And Nightcrawler is able to get free of this weird, like, constricting spell that was cast on him. And he sees on the wall, there's like this chain thing with a ball at the end, not quite a mace or anything like that. Not even quite like a ball and chain, but really just, I guess, like a counterweight for when they have people on the altar to kind of keep them locked in and what have you. So Nightcrawler is able to grab this thing off the wall, fashion it into a makeshift, you know, medieval style weapon. And he's looking at Shigarin, who is like doubly distracted, because as Shigarin is like yelling at the pirates and cursing his bad luck, Lockheed is like, "Ooh, a tail," and like bit onto it. So Shigarin's like, "Ah, this, like, I got these stupid pirates up there blasting away my castle. I got this dragon biting my tail, like, not cool." And it's enough of a distraction, you know, a double distraction, where Nightcrawler has grabbed this chain thing, fashioned it into a weapon, and just hits the staff, because he's figured out, like, all right, like all wizards, you know, the source of their magic, or at least what they're using to channel this magic, is clearly the staff. So Nightcrawler hits the staff. There's this big explosion. He's flung one way. Shigarin is flung the other way. And the smoke clears, you know, the dust settles. And Nightcrawler's looking around. He's trying to figure out where everybody is. And he's like, all right, so I guess I was right. It was the staff was the source of all of this power. The staff is what was being used to channel this magic. So Kurt is looking around after, you know, everyone got flung out away from the explosion thing from when the staff was destroyed. And he sees the princess there. He's asking her if she's okay and everything. Meanwhile, the pirates are still just pouring this barrage onto London Town. And they notice that London Town is starting to shake. So we go back to Nightcrawler, and he realizes to his horror that, you know, the pirates are right. The London Town is shaking. And the reason for that is because it is starting to crumble down upon itself. It seems that a combination of the pirates' barrage and the destruction of Shigarin's staff, and therefore the ending of all of this magic, is causing the fortress to just collapse in on itself. So Nightcrawler helps the princess to her feet. They've begun to run. They're trying to figure out which way to go, and they can't. You know, Nightcrawler's like, "Hey, you know, I don't know where I'm supposed to go. Like, I was unconscious when we got here." And so a voice off panel's like, "Ah, well, then you to unconsciousness you shall return." And he gets sucker punched right in the back of the head and knocked out. And it turns out that, you know, Shigarin has also come to. He's recovered from whatever force it was that launched him back. And as Nightcrawler is passed out, he grabs the princess for himself and he runs. He knows exactly where he's supposed to go. It's his place, right? So he knows where his ship is. He says to Nightcrawler, like, adios, and all that. And they do. They make it to the ship, and they start to fly away as London Town is crashing down around itself. Luckily for Nightcrawler, Lockheed has also recovered and is, like, biting his tail, pulling on his tail, yanking him to wake him up. And it is. It's enough for Nightcrawler to wake up, and he's like, "Oh man, like, I got sucker punched and knocked out again." He's like, "I should probably start wearing a helmet, you know, like, maybe I should get one of those." And he looks around, he realizes, of course, the Jinjav is gone, the Chagrin is gone, everything is collapsing down, stuff's on fire now. And he's like, oh man, like, how are we supposed to get out of here? And Lockheed's just like pointing off that way. And he's like, let's just head in that direction. That's the way the other people went. So we'll just go that way. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Nightcrawler and Lockheed start running off in the direction that Chagrin had made before. And they get to the docks of London Town. Of course, there's no boats or anything, no skyships to jump onto and commandeer. They're just kind of looking around, and they see off in the distance, there goes Chagrin's pirate ship being not towed, but being propelled by being tied to that weird squid thing. And it's luckily for Nightcrawler, it's close enough that he can do his line of sight teleportation. And he does. He teleports right onto the deck. And Chagrin's like, dang it, man. Like, I left you to die back in London Town. How did you get here? This is no fair. He's like, am I never going to be free of you? Dang it. And so Nightcrawler, he jumps, he lunges at him. He tries to tackle him down. And Chagrin kind of like does a roll where he kind of rolls backwards and ends up smacking Nightcrawler with his tail, and he yells at him like, you know, you destroyed my staff. So I'll have to use a cutlass to defeat you. So he grabs a sword from a rack that's like right there on the deck. And he takes a swipe at Nightcrawler, who, being acrobatically inclined as he is able to successfully dodge. There's like a bucket of water on the deck, and he throws it right into Chagrin's face. And that's enough that he's able to get over to this arms rack as well. And he pulls out not one, not two, but three cutlasses, one for each hand and one for his tail. And they have this like really great little match here where where Nightcrawler is like doing blow after blow after blow with his three swords that he's got. But not that he's no match for Chagrin, but Chagrin is good enough that he's able to dodge all of these blasts or parry them as you will. But unfortunately for him, you know, Nightcrawler has backed him up to the edge of the deck. And so Nightcrawler's like, aha, you're at the rail now. Like, you've nowhere else to go. You have to yield. And so Chagrin's like, oh, you think that, like, you think you've won? That's ridiculous. And he grabs one of the ropes that's like tethering the ship to the squid thing. And he starts climbing up to the top of the squid. And he's like, yeah, you thought I was done, but like, I can carry on up there. So he starts climbing up. Nightcrawler, of course, is following right along. But Nightcrawler did have to ditch two of the swords because he needs both of his hands in order to climb. You know, like he can't really stick to the squid thing with his feet. He has to use his hands and feet to like climb the ropes that are wrapped around the squid. It's very strange, but like he doesn't seem to be able to get like a solid hold. Solid footing on this weird squid thing that seems to be some sort of slick oil sort of thing. So Nightcrawler, he has to climb up to the top. And as he's like right about to the top, Chagrin's like, yeah, you know, I'm not going to waste my time for this to be a fair battle. He runs over, he tries to slash at Nightcrawler, but Nightcrawler is up enough that he's able to then teleport back behind Chagrin. So even though Chagrin tried to, you know, take the low road and hit Nightcrawler before he could, the Dread Pirate Roberts would be very disappointed in him there. But Nightcrawler is able to get up to the top of the squid, and they have their little battle. And they're pretty evenly matched when they each only have one sword. You know, Nightcrawler's doing blow after blow that are being blocked by Chagrin and vice versa. But unfortunately, at one point when Chagrin goes on the offensive and Nightcrawler's backing up, he actually loses his footing. He slips on this weird squid thing. And in that moment, Chagrin is about to administer like the killing blow. He's like, this is what I've been waiting for. Here it comes. And as he's like swinging his cutlass down at Nightcrawler, Lockheed has finally arrived. Because, you know, when Nightcrawler teleported to the ship, he didn't bring Lockheed. Lockheed's had to fly his way over. Sad little dragon, but eventually he catches up to them right in the nick of time, right as Chagrin is bringing his cutlass to bear. Lockheed lets forth with some fire breath, which not only stops Chagrin, it knocks him unbalanced, and then Nightcrawler teleports away. So here he is being unbalanced while he's swinging his sword, and it's enough where his momentum actually carries him off the squid, and he seems to fall like to certain death, right? Like he's fallen off of a ship that's floating in the sky. We don't know how far down the ground is. And so Nightcrawler's like, oh, that's too bad. Like I should have tried to save him, but you know, I wasn't able to. So bummer. Anyway, meanwhile, Nightcrawler goes down to the deck of the ship to tell this beautiful princess, like, hey, guess what? I saved the day, because you know, it's me, Nightcrawler. I'm dope like that. And he does. He goes down and he's like, my name is Kurt Wagner, and I'm privileged to be of service to you. And of course, she says that she's pleased to know him, and she gives him she just plants one on him because it's Nightcrawler, and women seem to find him irresistible when he's in swashbuckling mode. And so she plants a kiss on him, and it's short-lived, unfortunately, for Nightcrawler. All he gets is the one kiss, because by now the pirates have caught up as well, and they were like, ahoy, Boggy, come aboard if you please, and bring the Jinjav with you. We've a bit of business to discuss. So you're like, oh man, like out of the frying pan, into the fire. But luckily for Nightcrawler, he made an impression on the pirates. They seemed to enjoy his company. Even if he did double cross them in the last issue, they're like, hey, you know, no harm, no foul. We still like you. And we don't really see what happens though, because we check back in with Kitty and Ilyana. And we see that Kitty is, you know, excitedly exclaiming like, oh my gosh, I think I figured it out. Like one or two more little adjustments, a little bit of luck, and we'll be able to have Nightcrawler back. And then, of course, we go to the floating, beautiful city of Bel-Ami Honora. And we see that the royal family has welcomed Kurt. They're thankful for his service. He's rescued the Jinjav, their daughter. And with his bravery and all of that, they bestow upon him the rank of knight and protector of the realm. Not like the only knight and the only protector, but, you know, he's one of the knights and one of the protectors of the realm. And it's kind of funny because you get the sense that the Jinjav's mom, the queen, I guess, but also it looks like the Jinjav's three younger sisters, they're all kind of like giggly and stuff at Kurt, because they're like, oh, look, he must be a Boggy. He's blue. He's got a tail. He's got the ears. Like, he's clearly a Boggy, but like, dang, is he a handsome Boggy, if I do say so myself. But either way, you know, the king is like, you've saved my daughter, and you know, it's a pleasure to be able to play host to you, my son. Like, welcome to the kingdom of Bel-Ami Honora and all of this. And Nightcrawler is, you know, rightfully, oh, well, thank you very much. You know, it's a great honor to be here, and I'm just happy to be here and all that. And, you know, it's awesome. Like, I've always wanted to be a knight. This is great. But of course the Jinjav comes over and she's like, all right, with all the pleasantries out of the way, like I desire the company, you know, I desire your company, you know, Sir Knight Kurt Wagner and all this, like, come walk with me in the garden. And of course Nightcrawler is like, oh, well, you know, as you command, my princess, and all that. And like, they walk off panel, and we cut to one panel, and it just says suddenly, and we see a human girl's finger pushing a button on a keyboard yelling bingo. So we're like, all right, cool. Kitty has figured it out. And we turn the page and we see a very shocked looking Kitty and Ilyana staring into the danger room. And the reason why is Nightcrawler's clothes are there. Kitty has managed to find Nightcrawler and key in on Nightcrawler, and she's initiated the teleportation to bring Nightcrawler back into our dimension, and she only brings his clothes. And Ilyana's reaction is the best, you know? She's like, send it back! Kurt's out there somewhere giving a free show! And Kitty's like, oh my gosh. And she quickly reverses it, you know, as fast as she can. She sends Nightcrawler's clothes back to him. And we then see Nightcrawler and the Jinjav, and Nightcrawler he's speechless. You know, he's shocked. He's been naked for God knows how long, 10 seconds, 15 seconds, you know, in the presence of this beautiful princess, just all of a sudden completely naked. And he's at a complete loss for words. He's just like, And then the Jinjab's reaction is priceless. You know, she's got this look on her face, like, she's got her hands on her either side of her face with this very shocked look, like, oh my, you know, by the goddess, Kurt, your clothes disappeared completely. And then reappeared, and she asks him, you know, how did you do that? And can you do that again? She says, as she's giving him this, you know, very devious smile. And unfortunately for Kurt, I guess, maybe, we cut back, we see the girl's finger, you know, pressing the button again, you know, the human girl's finger. And this time she's saying, got him. And it starts again. And this time she didn't just get his clothes. She gets Nightcrawler and his clothes. And Nightcrawler is kind of standing there. And I like the way that Cockrum draws this. It's like you can see that Nightcrawler is being teleported again. So like reality behind him has begun to swirl and stuff. And he looks nervous and he's like, oh no, not now. And he's yelling to the princess, like, stay back, stay back. And she's like, what is it? And he says, you know, it's another dimensional warp. It's pulling me in. Stay away. And unfortunately for Nightcrawler, he is teleported away, you know, and the Jinjav is not happy. She's yelling like, Kurt, no, please don't go. And we actually check in, you know, we see the Jinjav. It says, you know, for a long while after the Jinjav Sabri sits sadly in her garden alone with her thoughts, or so it appears. And so we see, like, here's this garden with this, you know, lush trees and whatever. And there's the Jinjav sitting alone on a bench with her head in her hands, very sad. But in the foreground behind hidden behind a bush, we actually see three little boggies. And they're like, phony boggy nighty thingy's gone away, hee-hee. Is good, we says, no sharing princess with phony boggy weirdo, no. Princess is all ours, woohoo. So I'm scared to think of what the boggies are planning on doing with the Jinjav. But either way, it's probably no good. And so we switch scenes and we check back in with Nightcrawler and Lockheed as we see them being teleported through this weird, you know, twisting reality, until finally they fall out of it and they fall to the ground and they land wherever it is they happen to be. It says suddenly they make an unceremonious entrance into somewhere else. And Nightcrawler's looking around and he's like, well, I'm not with the Jinjav anymore, but I'm not in the danger room. Like, where the heck am I? And he's looking around and suddenly he's shocked and he just says, like, Voss? And the last panel of the issue, we see Nightcrawler looking, you know, very surprised, very shocked at this this like teleportation, you know, this Banff cloud. And inside the Banff is like a miniature version of Nightcrawler, the actual, you know, like a little Banff. And he just says, like, Daddy, you've come home. And Nightcrawler just like, what in the heck? And the issue ends. It says, you know, next, to Banff or not to Banff. And there you have it. That is Nightcrawler Volume 2, Issue 2. So, like I said at the end of last issue, you know, this is a super fun series. Each issue gets like more and more strange and more exciting and weird. And, you know, you feel bad for Nightcrawler because here he is in the company of a beautiful woman and he gets teleported away. Like, that seems to be how it goes for Nightcrawler. If it's not, you know, Amanda Sefton or Cerise, the woman that joined Excalibur who had come from the Shi'ar Empire. Either way, like, if it's not one of those two women, it seems that Nightcrawler is always out of luck in the love department. So you feel bad for Nightcrawler for getting teleported out of a situation that was, you know, very much going his way. But it's awesome. Like, we get some sword and sorcery. We get a pirate fight on a pirate ship. It's really great. It was a fantastic issue. And I'm really looking forward to diving into issue number 3-4 next week. But there you go. That is Nightcrawler Volume 1, Issue number 2. So there you have it, Mindfreund. That does it for Talkin' Banff Episode 2. If you like the show and want to keep the conversation going, you can reach out to me via email, talksnicked@gmail.com. And if you are interested, then click the link in the show notes and join the Talkin' Snick Discord. There's tens of us in there now. It's been a lot of fun, but it's just a great place to get in touch with other Talkin' Snick fans or Saturday Morning Snicktoons fans or just X-Men fans in general. Most of the people that are in there have been guest hosts on Snicktoons, so if you like any of them, definitely check it out and join the Discord. We post all kinds of stuff in there, things from, you know, pieces from our various collections, or we just talk about the state of X-Men comics or whatever, you know. So it's a lot of fun. And if you are interested, then yeah, just click that link in the show notes and join the Talkin' Snick Discord. Would love to have you on there. Stay tuned as we get to Nightcrawler number 3, Nightcrawler issue 3 for Talkin' Bamf number 3, coming at you next Wednesday. I'm currently working on getting my guest host back on for the next episode of Snicktoons, so bear with me there as I try to get that schedule hammered out and get her back on. And in the meantime, jump over to Marvel Plus. I'm not sure if the episode has dropped by the time you will be hearing this, but I had the good pleasure of finally going back onto Marvel Plus as a guest myself and being able to talk about Werewolf by Night, the special MCU presentation that recently dropped on Disney Plus. So it was a lot of fun chatting with Brett Scott, host of Marvel Plus, and getting to gush about a MCU project, as I have not been the biggest fan of MCU stuff in the year 2022. So it was really fun to finally have something to gush about. And it was just a great conversation. And I always love being able to talk to Brett, especially on his own show. So again, go check out Marvel Plus. Auf Wiedersehen.